You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Come rally with the dog pound at the 2015 Cleveland Browns Fan Fest on Saturday, June 6th at the Cleveland Convention Center. Meet the Browns players and alumni, including 2015 Browns rookies, with autograph sessions throughout the day. Hear from the Browns coaches, the front office members, and more. Get your tickets now at clevelandbrowns.com or on the Browns mobile app. Happy to be joined in the Dog Bowl here in Berea by the Gribbs. Senior staff writer at clevelandbrowns.com, Andrew Gribble. Gribbs, how you doing today, man?
Doing great. How you guys doing?
Good. How was good. The weekend? How was the weekend with, of course, the rookie mini camp? What stood out to you?
Well, first off, it was just scorching out there. Like this felt like July, you know, training camp type of weather for these guys. I think a lot of players were tested conditioning wise and everything like that. So, you know, you saw some guys cramping up out there, but I think it was a good overall. It was a large group of players. I mean, not many teams in the league have 50 tryout players. And clearly, when you look at it, you know, the Browns signed so few undrafted free agents out of the draft that basically when you add in these 8 tryout guys, it just looks like a normal group of undrafted free agents that you signed out of the draft. So I think that's why people get confused why the Browns would sign 8 tryout players. I think that's why. They had room to work with, and clearly you basically, instead of just signing a guy blindly off a college team, you see them for a weekend, get comfortable with them and comfortable enough to go forward in the offseason with them.
Now, they signed 8 of those tryout guys. Who stood out to you amongst those that they ended up signing?
Well, you know, I think the one guy that made me almost feel like I maybe know a little bit about football is watching the tight end, Haplia. It seemed like every time he had the ball, he just looks physically like kind of that bigger tight end. I can see why he maybe got lost in the shuffle there at Florida State, because O'Leary was that H-back kind of guy that they used a lot for pass plays. But Haplia is maybe more of that traditional tight end. But he made some good plays, was able to get separation out in the field. But another guy, too, just I think from a physical standpoint, Brandon Stevens looks like a 27-year-old defensive back that has played some football. And I think he kind of has an advantage, had an advantage a little bit because he's been playing football. He's in football shape. And I think that stood out. He's kind of a bigger guy at that defensive back spot. Clearly, with that room, it's as crowded as it gets. But they clearly like something, identifying him on the Gladiators roster, bringing him in on a tryout and keeping him around here and seeing what he can do. But he's already been on a practice squad before, so you kind of know what you're getting with him as well.
Andrew, Ray Farmer went out and sought after a majority, if not all, 12 of these picks, 10 of which will most likely be available at the start of training camp, and then, of course, in week one. Who do you feel, and I'm sure Irving and or Danny Shelton, the number one overall picks, will be a given, but who do you think is a week one starter or a week one contributor for this football team?
Well, you know, I think you guys have already touched on it already. I'll leave the 2 first-round guys out because that's pretty easy, but I think there's a definite role for Duke Johnson in that offense, that he fills a need that is really hard for anyone else at that position to maybe do some of the things that he's capable of doing. I think clearly Crowell and West, I think they can do more in the passing game than they did last year. But I think Duke Johnson's already has a lot of experience with that, and he's done it so well. And I think that's why they identified him, and he can fill that role as well. I think similarly with Nate Orchard as well, I think there's a definite role for him on the defense. It's just a matter of when you use Mingo, when you use Orchard as well. I think Orchard is a little bit bigger, and he's I think he's just kind of a different body type a little bit than Mingo. But I'm more interested to see what Mingo can do this year with the healthy shoulder. Maybe he is rushing the passer more, but Mingo has already shown he can be pretty good dropping back as well.
Danny Shelton reportedly signed his contract with the Cleveland Browns today. We'll get official word on that later, but it does seem that, you know, it always helps with this new rookie system that to get these guys under contract as quick as possible. We know Gaines has signed, Orchard signed, Telfer signed as well.
It's like eliminated an entire, like, part of the offseason for media to cover. I mean, this used to be such a huge deal.
You need more stuff to cover, Gribbs?
No,
I
don't.
You're working
plenty
hard right now.
This used to be, like, such a storyline for everywhere. I mean, every year you'd have, like, 2 or 3 guys that just didn't even make it for camp. I mean, they were still holding out as long as they were. But now I've seen a number of teams have already signed their entire classes. So it's just like, and I think last year Gilbert was one of the last ones to sign, but it was still in plenty of time for training camp. But clearly, as quickly as you can get this done and get them even more focused on football, it's clearly good news. And I imagine we'll just keep rattling these off one by one until you hit 12 in a few weeks.
I know Coach Pettine has commented about that, which we might hear at some point this week. But Vince Mailey, you know, wearing the red jersey, icing that hand, is he going to have availability early in this football season?
Well, you know, they don't think it's going to affect training camp, but I think it will affect these next few months. So it's going to be on him to kind of learn the offense without maybe doing as much as some of the other players around him. So that makes kind of the classroom work even more important for him. But clearly they wanted to kind of put this to rest. I mean, it's an injury that clearly wasn't bothering Mailey a ton because he didn't learn he had it until he got x-rayed at the combine. And he was able to do his pro day after taking off the cast, but it's still something you just want to get out of the way, get back to 100%. So you're starting fresh at training camp. So he should be ready to go. Clearly he's going to be able to stay in shape. I think with the thumb injury, he'll stay in good cardio shape as well. But I think he'll be an interesting one to watch just because you miss that time. Every snap is so important for these rookies. So you're missing a little bit, but I think they're going to keep him prepared.
It's important. You're right. They are going to keep them prepared. And it is important because this is a guy you want to get in and you want contributing right away. And it sounds like it'll put him a little bit behind the eight ball there. Paul Browning, wide receiver they signed. Did he stand out to it all over the weekend? Another guy, 6'2", similar size to Mailey.
Yeah, I thought so as well. And I think maybe this was maybe a testament to how many good defensive backs they brought in for this kind of tryout camp, but it seemed like that side of the ball was maybe getting the better of the wide receivers throughout the weekend. You also have to attribute that to, like, outside of Connor Shaw, I think both the other quarterbacks, you know, clearly were struggling a little bit as well.
Yes.
So, you know, I think that had something to do with it as well. But clearly, this, like, wasn't there a quarterback at Colorado State Pueblo too?
Yeah,
like
Chris Bonner. I saw Browning when I started watching Bonner's tape, and he stood out.
So this is clearly a program that was doing some things right, where you can get a couple guys that are at least worth an NFL look. So I think everyone's always going to gravitate toward wide receivers when you're looking at potential guys that can make an impact on this roster. But clearly Browning's got that size and speed that you like out of that position.
Andrew, another guy that I thought was overwhelming, both Jason Gibbs and Nathan here have said had a great weekend. And a guy that the Cleveland Browns moved back into the third round to get is Xavier Cooper out of Washington State. Just talk about, you know, at quick glance, what he does well, and also, too, where you think he's going to line up on this defensive line.
Well, you know, I think they want him to be able to do both the 3 and the 5. He's got kind of the size where you could definitely see him doing both. I think the big takeaway, and it's just like a little trickle each day, you hear more and more about Xavier Cooper from different parts of this building, and that's Jim O'Neill saying that he had the best first step of any interior lineman in the entire draft class. It almost feels like, and I talked to Xavier Cooper after practice on Saturday, and he understood that he was kind of under the radar in college because he played at Washington State. Even though that's a Pac-12 school, you just don't think of defense when you think of Mike Leach and the Pac-12.
No, so you do not.
And Washington State's one of those teams, too, where they're kind of middle of the pack, bottom of the pack, where it's almost every week they're playing at midnight, it seems like, on the East Coast, and they're not really in any of these marquee games as well. But he understood that, but I think he's starting to realize how good he can potentially be as well. He's got kind of a background in soccer and basketball, so I don't know if that's where the speed and the footwork kind of was developed as he became a bigger and meaner football player on the field. But it was interesting to see him and Danny Shelton lined up next to each other, because, you know, that's overwhelming for the guys they had on the offensive line at a tryout camp like that. So it was fun for them to get out there and get active, and it'll be interesting to see how he mixes in with this really crowded defensive line room.
With the moves today, signing those guys, they had to make some room to get to 90. Garrett Hartley was cut, leaving them with two first-year kickers. Were you surprised at that move, and what do you think that means for the kicker position?
Well, I guess a little bit surprised, but at the same time, this clearly is not over. I think Chris Tabor said on Saturday this is a wide-open competition. You've got to figure a veteran that might come around. You would think you'd add another one to kind of put in the mix going forward. They brought in a couple kickers and punters this weekend, but none of them stuck. They let those guys go. But so it's interesting. I mean, they clearly like these guys at some point last year, because they added them in December.
Yeah.
At some point. So perhaps that's a sign that these guys are doing pretty well and they feel good about it. But I would think that there's going to be another guy added at some point.
Duke Johnson, another guy that everyone's excited about. His ability to get open and run routes as a running back is something that he'll be a part of when it comes to this offense. But just talk about his ability. Coach Tabor talked about him learning to become a punt returner, and also to how great of a kick returner he was early in his career at University of Miami.
Yeah, I mean, he put up just massive numbers, and I think he didn't do anything his junior year because I think, one, he was taking on such a bigger responsibility in the running game. You know, I think he was really just the leader of that entire offense. And then, two, they had a player like Philip Dorsett that they could use on punt returns and kick returns and feel pretty good about putting him out there. But clearly he knows that this is an even better path to more playing time in the NFL. And clearly it's a wide open competition at both punt and kicks. And I think you focus, it seems like with the NFL now and the rule, the way the new rules have affected kickoffs, you focus more on what's going to happen on punts because it seems like that has such a more,
yeah,
a bigger impact on the game. It just seems like the vast majority of kicks are touchbacks, and it's just not as maybe valuable as it was just a few years ago. So it'll be interesting to see how he mixes in on punts. I think Tabor mentioned potential other. I mean, you got the guys from
Gaines.
Last year as well, Charles Gaines, and even you think about what he did in college and Justin Gilbert.
Yep.
I mean, clearly last year they weren't ready to throw any more on his plate because it was a struggle already. But now if he really has turned it around and shown he can handle everything at the NFL level, then you maybe get him involved in punts and see what he can do. But clearly that interception return for a touchdown last year, he showed that he's dangerous with the ball in his hands and in the open field.
He had 6 kick returns for touchdowns at Oklahoma State. Final one, Grips, anybody at the minicamp that's become like your guy? Have you kind of latched yourself onto one guy yet that you're fired up by? I've heard some of you, Kevin Jones loves Luke Lundy. That's his guy right now. Who is your kind of under the radar long shot dark horse that you're going to be pulling
for? I got a soft spot in my heart for the guy from Strongsville where I grew up, you know, Brandon Stevens. I saw him play. He was 2 years younger than me in high school. I saw him play there. He goes on to play at Miami of Ohio. He's been sticking around with the Gladiators, one of their better players. So I think that that's someone you root for at this stage when you see a 27-year-old go to a rookie mini camp and then stick out enough for these coaches to give them a shot, you know. And clearly, if anyone has an uphill climb, it's going to be anyone that's trying out for defensive back on this team because it's already a crowded room and there's a lot of talent there. But maybe I'm not saying he's the guy that maybe has the best chance to land on the roster, but it's someone local guy that you got to kind of pull for.
Got to go ahead and pull for him. All right, what's going on at ClevelandBrowns.com? They can get. I know there's an article about the kick and punt return options, some other stuff that you've been working on as well.
Well, you know, we're still digesting all the interviews that happened this past weekend, but you know, I had a chance to sit down with a lot of these rookies over the weekend, helping our video team as well. So there's a lot of good information gleaned from that we're gonna kind of spread out here throughout the next few weeks. But you know, OTAs are coming up pretty soon, and we're gonna be talking to a lot more players. I mean, the off season really starts like June 20th, and then it lasts for a month, and then we'll be back at it.
Then we'll be back at it. The Gribbs, Andrew Gribble. You can follow him on Twitter at Andrew_Gribble. Read all his great work at ClevelandBrowns.com. It's prolific, so get the Browns mobile app. You can have it right in your hand. The Gribbs at your fingertips. Who doesn't want that? All right, we'll be back finishing it up with our final thoughts here on this Monday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.